Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Becky Beresford. Becky is on the show talking about her book, She Believed He Could, So She Did. Our culture has been lying to women. The world defines female empowerment as believing in yourself or looking within to find the power to succeed. But what happens when women grow weary from trying to do it all? Jesus offers a better way. Becky is on the show, and she is sharing how she used to believe and even promoted some of society's lies to women. But in God's kindness, Becky came to the end of herself and embraced healing truth found in the Bible. Tired and frustrated with self-dependence, Becky wants to be God-dependent. So in her book and on today's episode, she invites us to join her as she dismantles commonly held misconceptions and lies so we can live in real freedom and godly confidence. Hi, Becky, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you again. You were in season one, so 6 years ago. This is crazy. Yes. And here you are again to talk about your new book, She Believed He Could, So She Did. I'm so happy to have you again.
I'm so glad to be back. You are wonderful. I just love what you're doing here on the Love Offering.
Well, thank you. So I actually had the privilege of reading an early copy of your book and endorsing it. So I can personally attest to its impact. So I'd love for you to take us back to the first inspiration of this idea, because I love the story.
Yes. So it literally started with a sign, like a literal sign that my husband bought from Hobby Lobby for me. So I was trying to pitch a totally different book for like 3 years. And, you know, Rachel, like it's a hard thing. Like writing is not for the faint of heart. And so I was pitching this book for 3 years, getting so many rejections. And so my husband bought me this sign that said she believed she could, so she did, to kind of like inspire me and say, you can do this, you know, with you and God, you can do this. And I'm like, okay. So I took the sign and I put it on my desk, and the no's kept coming. And I was like, okay, God, I'm trying to believe that like I can do this. This is what you want me to do, but it's not happening. And then other things were happening in my life. We were having a hard marriage at that point, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to believe like we can do this. Help me, Lord, to help my husband. Like, but I felt like I was failing again. And then there was stuff with our autistic son, and it just was like piling on and on and on. And the more I tried to believe that I could, the more I realized that I actually could not. And so I stared at that sign one day and I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to write anymore. Like, this is not worth it. I'm obviously not believing enough. And I stared at it and I said, the sign is wrong. It's not she believed she could, it's she believed he could. And so I took a permanent marker and I literally, like, it was a black background, so I colored out the S in the she, and then it said she believed he could, so she did. And I was like, that's it. Like, that is the key, because I can't do all these things. I'm not meant to hold the world. I'm not meant to be the savior of my own story. That is Jesus's job. And I'm trying to take it. And he's saying, you know, daughter, I want you to be free. I want you to be healed. I want you to be walking in a way where the burden is not on you. It's mine to carry. So it became like a real sense of freedom to actually say, I can't, I don't have to believe in me. I have to believe in God. And what's cool is, so from that first book, there was one chapter that I loved the most. It was called Dear Empowered Eve. And I sensed that the Holy Spirit was saying, I want you to take that chapter and I want you to make it into an entirely new book, all based on that. And this was during COVID. And so I was like, okay. And I was homeschooling my kids. And so I'm like, so, okay, let me get this straight. You want me to do all this now? Like, it took me a year and a half to write a proposal, and you want me to do this right now, like the hardest, worst time. And he's like, yes. I'm like, okay, she believed he could, so she did, right? So I sat down, I wrote the proposal in probably like 3 months instead of a year and a half. And then I started pitching the idea to agents that year. And I tell you, it was like totally like the first book was me striving and trying to push it, trying to make it happen because I wanted to like validate myself. Like, if I got a book contract, that means I'm succeeding in what God's called me to do. I'm a success. I'm worthy, you know? And it was such a striving. But this book, Jesus was paving the way. Like, he literally did it. He opened all the doors. Like, I pitched to my now agent, and I did it wrong. Like, I didn't even say attention to my agent. It went to the pool of submissions, but she saw it and she's like, "Your title intrigues me." So the sign, "Your title intrigues me." She believed he could, so she did. And so we ended up connecting, and she decided to represent me. And then literally a month and a half later, I'd scheduled an appointment with Moody Publishers way before I even had an agent. And again, it was totally the Lord making this happen. I was trying to have this age, it's an online meeting for just 10 minutes. And the internet connection was horrible with Moody. And I'm walking around being like, "Can you hear me now?" It's like the Verizon guy, you know? "Can you hear me now? Can you see me now? Am I frozen? Yes, no." So for like 5 out of the 10 minutes, she couldn't hear me. She didn't read my one sheet because all the tech issues that was going on that day, she knew nothing about me. I'm like, "Great God, like it's gonna be a flop again." But the Lord like had 5 minutes of clear in that little appointment, and she heard the book and she's like, "I love it. I want to set up a meeting with your agent." And then we met with her and she was like, "I want to take you to pub board." We didn't have to shop any other publishers. It was totally the Lord opening every single door. And it was just me being diligent and relying on his faithfulness. And so it was just two totally different stories, and I feel like it's such a beautiful contrast that shows the power and the message of this book, that Christ-centered empowerment is where it's at, not self-empowerment, which is what culture is trying to say to women. And it's also infiltrated into churches, and we don't even recognize it. And so that's what I'm praying this book does, is that it helps us see like the self-empowerment, self-reliance, depend on yourself, believe in yourself is in our churches, you know, but it's not in the Bible. So that's how the book kind of came about.
So I know that it started with the sign. So, but are you gonna make t-shirts, or you already have, and like mugs? Like, we all need this reminder. Like, he can do it. We're dependent on him. It's not up to us. Praise the
That's
Lord.
a good idea. My husband is a graphics designer, so that could totally be a thing.
It should be a
Yes,
thing. It should
I should.
definitely be a thing.
Should be a thing. I'm gonna try to make it a thing, right, Jesus? We're gonna
That way, we
do
don't have to get the Sharpie and like ruin the Hobby Lobby poster. You know what I mean?
Right. Let's save
Save
the
the ink. Well, so you
ink.
kind of mentioned this. Your subtitle reads "Trading Culture's Lies for Christ-Centered Empowerment." So, even dive into that. Like, what is Christ-centered empowerment? Like, that's even a big word. And instead of what? So, I'd love for you just to dive into that. Why do you have such a passion for helping women embrace Christ-centered empowerment? And what even is that?
So Christ-centered empowerment is the opposite of what culture is trying to tell you, what the world, what the enemy is actually trying to tell you, because he's really the one that plants the messages into the world that makes you try to rely on yourself instead of your savior. So I'm a helper. I like to try to fix things. I like to try to be there for people whenever I can. So it's really difficult for me to say no to helping them or to and if I do try to help and it doesn't work, I start shaming myself. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to go. And also, like, if we feel like we're trying to be these perfect Christian women, which, you know, newsflash, there are no perfect Christian women, but we still try to be it. when we fail, again, the enemy's right there to blame, to shame. And so it's not only just a burden of carrying things. The enemy then makes us feel bad and condemns us for not being able to carry what we were never meant to carry, because that is Jesus's job. And so I have experienced that, and I want women to experience the freedom that comes from saying, I don't have to have it all together. And I have a passion for this because I see it all over the church. Like, I know I already mentioned that, but you know, I used to actually like say some of this stuff. Within the book, I kind of tackle seven big, like popular empowering phrases that you hear in our culture. And one of them is you are enough. And I used to say that all the time. And you can do hard things. That's another one. Believe in yourself. You be you. You know, follow your heart. These are things that are meant to be empowering for women, but they're found nowhere in the Bible, and they make us rely on us again. And then we go back into that cycle of, okay, I can't do it. I'm shamed. What am I going to do now? And then you're stuck. So I just have a passion for trying to bring biblical truth and actually just bring us back to the gospel. Because, for example, you are enough. Like, if we were enough, we wouldn't need a savior. We wouldn't need Jesus if I can just do everything on my own. You know, you can do hard things. Well, actually, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Like, the saying in Christ is everywhere. It is always attached to the walking out of our faith. It is always attached because we can't even do that. We can't. Like, the Holy Spirit is empowering us and God is giving us the tools, and it's all in Christ. And so the enemy, I just really don't like him. And he's trying to take Jesus out of the equation, not just in the world, but also in the churches. And I want to put Jesus back into the equation. I want to help women see the beauty of the gospel and how it's a real message of freedom that I hope we all can embrace. So hopefully that's a little bit more clarity. That's Christ-centered empowerment.
Yeah, no, it is. It did make it clear. And I think, you know, you're not saying, I think one of the arguments to this could be that it's like, well, because there's women empowerment, you know, it's like, yeah, you're not shaming women at
no.
all. You know, like, do you have anything to speak on it? Do you know what I'm trying to get at it with that question?
Yes. So I think that when the world kind of has this view of, okay, so if you are a woman who's for female empowerment, then you have to be all girl power. You're a boss. And that's the only way, you know, but that's not the only way. It's okay to have weakness. It's okay to have to depend on someone else besides ourselves. And I know that women have been like discriminated against. We experience it in the church. Like, it is real. It is valid. I've experienced it. And it's not right. And I believe that Jesus is setting all things right. He's making all things new. And we are walking that out as the body of Christ, as we're awaiting Jesus's return. But the message of it's all up to you is just, it's gonna leave us feeling empty. It's gonna leave us feeling disappointed. It's not gonna end well. It might sound good now. And I am for lifting up women, like all for that. I want women to use their gifts and callings the way that God has made them and what he's designed them to be and to do for the kingdom. But we have to be relying on Jesus. And that's not a weakness. That actually makes us strong because he is strength itself. So I'm all for empowering women, but the biblical, gospel-centered, Jesus-centered way.
Yeah, it makes me even just think about Jesus when he was here. Women in that time were shamed and were like the lowest of low, and he always lifted them up. I'm thinking of Christy McClelland, her Jesus and Women study. If anybody's done that, Christy's been on the show. And she pointed that out so beautifully. So that's what he did then when he was living on earth. And so I think that your message really ties really beautifully into that. And this idea, before we hit record, we were just talking about this journey for you. This is a courageous book that you're putting out into the world. It takes, and I applaud you for that, because, and to be able to talk about it and to share this message, it is truth, but it is counter-cultural. And so as women are listening to this episode, as women are reading your book, how do they start to have these conversations too that are honestly tough, you know, speaking this truth in love, so to speak?
Yeah. I mean, I actually, in the book, I do have discussion questions because I want it to be a conversation starter. That my heart for this is that people will read this and it's not just going to be like a fluff book, you know, fluffy. That might sound bad, but this is supposed to be a book that helps them shift their mindset, their lifestyle. Like literally you would go to Hobby Lobby and you would see that sign, or you would see that you can do hard things on the journal at Target, and you'd want to take out a marker and be like, through Christ who strengthens me. Like you want to write it down there, that it's written, like the gospel becomes alive and it's written on our hearts. So that we can, like we were talking about this, Rachel, like Jesus came with a sword, you know, and the sword, like you said earlier, before we started recording, it is not comfortable. It is meant to separate what is true from what is false. And even though it might hurt, even though it's uncomfortable, that doesn't mean that freedom and goodness and beauty and joy and love and life are not on the other side. If we let it just dissect, you know? I pray that this book is a life-changing book for women, and it is countercultural. And I was like, Jesus, please don't make me write it when he first gave me the idea. Cause I'm like, this is going against the grain and there's going to be pushback. And he is preparing me for that as a former people pleaser who likes approval from people. Like, this is going to be a big test for me. It's going to be a very refining thing. I know it is, but I'm going to step forward and do what he's called me to do and know that he's going to give me the strength and the ability to withstand the good and also the bad.
Yeah. I mean, I just see this becoming people's mantra. Like, I believe he can do it. And it's mm-hmm. him. And then he gets all the glory. But I think that we also have to practice godly confidence to realize who God has made us to be. And I think that goes back to, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it goes back to knowing who we are in him and what he says about us and knowing what the truth is. Even, you know, we can obviously read your book, but then going to scripture to see what it says too. So I guess my question for you is, how can we practice godly confidence in who God has made us to be?
You know, the biggest thing, I'm going back to the sword, like the word, there's so much in there that tells us not about like who we are. Cause I think self-confidence is like, what can I do? What's my ability? You're like reassuring yourself, but godly confidence, like you were just saying a second ago, is assuring yourself of who God is, who we are in Christ. And what can God do? So there, the Bible is that, like, there's so much in the word that if we just read it, it's empowering verse after empowering verse, so many passages. Like, I feel like the Holy Spirit just illuminated my eyes, you know, like as I was reading scripture and writing this book, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, look at what we have in Christ. Look what he enables us to do, you know? And it's a godly confidence. It does build you up. In Jesus, it builds up your confidence in who you are so that you can face whatever life has for you or face the enemy's lies. Cause you know, he's going to try to the counter. I mean, that's what he did with Eve. Right. But godly confidence is knowing who you are in Jesus. And I think Eve didn't know who she was in God. She, the very first lie that Satan said was meant to make her reach for something more so that she felt she was lacking. She felt like she wasn't enough based on what the enemy was saying. You have this fruit, you will be like God. When in reality, she already was enough in God. She was already enough in God. But because she fell for the lie that she wasn't enough, she took the fruit, which then became this self-fulfilling prophecy. And she became not enough because she separated herself from God. And so if she just was like, hey, I'm good in God, me and God are good. I'm good with who he is. I'm good with who I am to him. I'm his daughter. We're good. Godly confidence, right? It helps us push back against what the enemy's trying to do, because he's trying to make us reach for more than God himself. So I think that's a good way. Just go to the word, like see the enemy's plans, what he's been trying to do, and then see what God says about you as his child.
Yeah. And I, just to piggyback on that, I was thinking, you know, the enemy, to back to Eve's story, he says, did God really say, you know, he was twisting truth from the very beginning. And so he's still trying to twist the truth now, which is you're trying to untwist it.
Yes, exactly. I'm untwisting. I'm an untwister.
Is that even a word? I don't know, but I just made it up. And so I'm so thankful that you have written this book. Cause I really do it again. I have read it. I've endorsed it. I think that it is going to be a really powerful resource that's going to change a lot of hearts. And so I'm really thankful, for that. So one of the questions that I'm asking all of my guests this season is, what is something that you are loving right now? This can be a person, this can be a place, this can be a product, a song, a verse. It doesn't matter. There's no rules, but whatever comes to mind first.
Well, right now it's 70 degrees in Raleigh, and I moved from Chicago. And so I'm loving that I'm not covered in ice and I'm not covered in snow. So that's something that I'm loving. I'm loving the temperature, and I'm looking forward to the beauty. I know spring here is like beautiful. So looking forward to that.
We just had a lot of snow here in Kentucky, but today it's rainy, but it is warmer. So
yeah,
I'm thankful for that too. So is there a biblical concept of love that pertains to this topic that you'd want to leave us with today?
Yeah. I think that this is a love letter, like the Bible is a love letter from God, letting us know, like, I know how to take care of you. We know how to take care of ourselves and what we need, but he knows how to take care of us. He knows what we need. He knows even before we ask it, the word says. And so we can trust in God's love for us and how he's going to provide us with the strength. He's going to provide us with everything that we need because he loves us. This is the gospel, is because of love. This has nothing to do with what we do. It has absolutely nothing to do with our striving, our earning. He gives his love freely. And so this book brings it back to the gospel, and the gospel is all about God's love for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just thinking about the woman listening that maybe is in that position you were in, as we, you know, circling back to the very beginning of our conversation, where you're just like, I give up. I can't do this. I don't have what it takes. You know, I think I almost feel that way almost every single day, if I'm honest. Yeah. Like, when am I going to get all this together? I can't do it. And we get really defeated and discouraged. And so what would you speak to the woman like me?
And me,
how would you
by the
encourage
way.
Her? Yeah, how would you encourage her today?
Well, I feel like that. And I feel like this is always going to be a struggle to choose to believe that God has our best in mind, to choose to believe that, yes, I feel like I don't have the strength. I feel like I'm going to give up, but God never gives up on us because of his deep love and care and devotion. He's devoted to us. And so, you know, in my most broken places, Jesus is so tender and gentle and gracious. And he isn't like, well, you should have done this more, or you should have done that. He is almost always, I am with you and I love you, and nothing will ever, ever change that. And it's from that love and embracing that love that we can stand back up again, right? His love is our strength. And so if you feel like you're going to, I mean, I literally said earlier, I give up. We all are there, and it's a daily choice to lean into the love of Christ. It's a daily choice to lean into his goodness and his strength and his care for us. And so when we do that, that's what's going to empower us to face the day. And it will happen. It becomes a practice that we have to choose to do over and over. And we feel his strength more. We feel his love more. you know, we walk more closely with Christ. And, you know, I love Jesus and he loves us. He loves us so much and he'll always be there for us.
Yeah. Well, me too. And so as we close, would you pray for us and over us?
Yes, I would love to. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are and how you just surround us and fill us and love us. And we thank you for your care and your capability to do all things, God, through your strength. You're so good, Lord, to not expect that from us. But we can expect great things from you and know that you are never going to let us down. You never forsake us, God. We just praise you for the faithfulness that you continually give to your children. And I just pray that these words that Rachel and I were speaking today would be encouraging to the listeners, and that you would reveal yourself more deeply to them and draw them closer to you, God. And we just thank you for this time. And we just bless you, God, and bless everyone listening. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, would you tell us, I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure I will, but I'm sure listeners are going to want to too. So tell us how we can best do that.
Yeah, you can just go to my website, beckyberesford.com. And then I have a little section called this Brave Women. So if you scroll down there, my email list is there. It's under sign up. You can become part of my empowered email tribe. And so I love to send out encouragement and just, you know, Christ-centered empowering verses and resources to the women on the list. So yeah, that's the best way to keep in touch. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, I'm on your list and I love what you send out. I definitely feel Christ empowered today. So thank you so much for reminding us that we believe that he could. So yeah, we can. Is that the way that it would work?
We believe he could, so we can. Yes.
Correct. That's like for all of us. Yes. All right. Thank you so much for being my guest.
All right. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Becky Beresford. We hope that today encouraged you to be God-dependent and God-empowered. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @ Rachel Adams Author on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive my weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the Love Offering Calendar. Since it's February and the month of love, I would love to offer that to you for free just to give you ideas of ways to love the people in your life. And you can find that at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Cynthia Yanoff. She is on the show talking about how life is messy, but God is good. I can't wait to chat with you again then. But until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.